This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along and good to have Dr. Michael Michaud back in the studio. Last time we had this discussion that I didn't want to have end, some of the new technologies out there fighting cancer. That is my dinner party. If I ever got invited to dinner parties, Dr. Michaud, that'd be my dinner. I'd still talk about that with folks. I said, listen what they're doing. It's wild. So welcome back.
It's fascinating. It makes life interesting.
It is. And I can just glean a little bit of your understanding of it. You had me so fired up about it last time. It was really something. So hopefully, maybe even in this interview, we can get back and talk more about that. But I know there's a lot we want to talk about as the situation there for people getting to the doctor to get tested. I mean, this is a thing, obviously, during COVID and situations where for a long time you couldn't go to the hospital at all if it wasn't COVID related, then that opened up, but people still have questions about their routine screenings and all that, and that's a big deal.
Things have opened up. It's still not as simple as it was, where you just go and do what you want to do. Going to the doctor's office is simple. When they come to our office, we check the temperature, give them a mask, and they see the doctor. But if we want a test that has to be done at the hospital, there's a delay. You have to have a COVID test. They wait 3 days to get the results, and then you can have the test done. So it's not as simple as it used to be, where we just sent you over for a CT chest, mm-hmm. PET scan, or a biopsy, and you went and had it done. Now there's a testing procedure and a delay.
And, you know, those delays often make it hard on people's schedules. Getting places, you know, if they've allocated this time to do this, it's tough when they're going to get a test and then go back home for 3 days and then come back out.
And if you come from Monroeville.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You got to travel the whole way down here.
That's right. Then you go back and then you come back 3 days later. It's a major inconvenience, but at least it's being done now.
Right. At least people get. Yeah, we had that long period. What was that like? At least from the outsiders reporting stories that, they said, well, non-elective surgeries aren't on. Of course, emergencies would be dealt with. But where did things like these tests and cancer screenings come in on that?
They were shut down.
Shut down.
And, you know, we couldn't get things done. It wasn't for more than a month or 6 weeks, but it opened back up pretty quickly. First in a limited capacity and now in a more general capacity.
But even though it's opened up, people need to be prepared for a 3-day delay.
Yes. If it's done in the hospital or in a surgical center, they have to be tested first.
Do you see a glut as it's come back open, as you have breast cancer screening and colon cancer screening, cervical cancer screening? Was there that glut that hit? Or?
You know, we thought it was going to be like a dam break, mm-hmm. and suddenly everybody came. But it really hasn't been. I mean, we're seeing more and more every week. More people are coming in for their tests and their screenings. But it's not the glut that we expected.
I'm not the mathematician here, but if there was this, y'all know an average demand for these screenings. Here it goes. And then it stops. And then 6 weeks later, it's back on. But that glut doesn't happen. Does that mean people are skipping them?
I think so. I think some people have just postponed them for several months till everything is settled down. I think some people have just skipped it.
Okay. So let's talk about this. I mean, what kind of situation does that put somebody in? Maybe some people have no issue, but it seems like if this screening is important for catching cancer.
Well, it is, and things like your annual mammogram, it's certainly not a big deal if you delay it 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
But I wouldn't drop out an entire year.
Okay, so that's a takeaway. If you're somebody listening to us right now that is kind of put it on the back burner, that's okay, but make sure you get it done. Don't just say, I'll just wait till next year.
Correct. Don't drop out your screening. Just delay it for a month or so.
So if somebody at Southern Cancer Center, if y'all were talking to folks and they said, okay, well, I was scheduled for June, you know, you say September or so,
yeah.
Get them in, they'd be okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Late summer, early fall, no big deal.
Let's back up for a second, too, Dr. Michaud, and talk to those of us that aren't having to live this every day. What kind of cancer screenings should we be getting routinely? Is there a routine cancer screen?
Well, most women should have a mammogram once a year.
Okay.
If they had an abnormal mammogram last year, they might be doing it at 6 months.
Okay.
A closer screening. But it needs to be done because mammograms pick up breast cancers at an early stage where they can be cured with less surgery.
So the earlier, the better.
Colonoscopies. Have you had yours yet?
Why are you looking at me, Dr. Mishab? Not getting into that yet. We'll wait until we get the commercial break. You can read my lecture. Yes, that's on my list.
So that's usually done every 5 or 10 years, depending on the last one. So you should have your first one when you're 50, and at least every 10 years thereafter. So if you haven't had one and you were due in January,
mm-hmm.
is it a big deal to postpone it for 6 months? No.
Okay. I love this. This is a realistic discussion about what these time frames are. Okay. If somebody says, listen, I feel like I'm 50, I need to get the colonoscopy, a woman that needs that breast cancer test, but I'm nervous about going to the doctor's office. You know, I feel like that's where all the sick people are. You've heard that joke. You know, everybody's sick at the doctor's office. If they're nervous about that, are there other options?
Not for the screening tests. I mean, you're going to have to go somewhere where there's people that do the tests. Now,
okay.
There are, instead of a colonoscopy, you've seen on TV the advertisements for the ColoGuard.
Yes. Please, okay, this is, I'm glad you brought that up, and I didn't think about discussing that. I see that, you've known me my whole life, I'm perpetually 12 years old, I may giggle a little bit when I see that commercial. Is that valid? Does that work?
Yes.
It does.
It's not as good as a colonoscopy, but it can pick up cancer at an early stage. The beauty of a colonoscopy is that it can see benign polyps.
Okay.
And a benign polyp over a period of years can become a malignancy. If you remove it while it's still a polyp, it can't become a cancer.
Okay.
So a colonoscopy, as opposed to the ColoGuard, is both diagnostic by seeing things and therapeutic by removing things that could become dangerous.
So the full freight colonoscopy, that's the best. But if you can't do that for some reason, the ColoGuard stuff is at least worth doing.
Yes.
If you couldn't do the other one.
Yes.
Okay. This is good because I've wondered about that every time. I'm like, can they really do anything with that? But they can.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about this. I've had a discussion about this telehealth. You know, we're tele-everything these days. Teleworking, telecommuting, telehealth is a thing. How does that work in y'all's world? Or does it?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I mean, think of your iPhone
mm-hmm.
and FaceTiming with your parents or
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. In fact, sometimes we use our iPhones in FaceTime because it's easier than all the other equipment that you have to get.
Do you feel like you get a real sense of that patient?
No.
Okay.
I do not.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm getting. So,
you know, as a physician, I think there's quite a bit to be said for being able to lay hands on and actually see them
mm-hmm.
in person rather than looking at a video.
So,
I think it's okay, but I don't think it's a substitute.
This is this sounds like our ColoGuard discussion.
Yes.
There's things that are okay, but they're not a replacement.
It's better than not doing anything.
Well said. All right. So,
but
if you can, you want to see that patient in person.
Yes. I mean, if you're doing telehealth, they can't check your blood pressure.
Right.
They can't feel your pulse. They can't draw your blood and check your chemistries and your CBC. Those are things that just can't be done by telehealth.
All right, let's do this. Can you hold on? We'll go to the news break. Come right
sure.
back. More with Dr. Mishad from Southern Cancer Center. And I've got some time here. I'm going to go back into that discussion of some of the amazing Star Wars stuff they're doing to fight cancer. It really
this
is going to knock your socks off. Stay
with
close.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Dan, we're back. FM Talk 106.5 at FMTalk1065.com. Remember, check out podcasts of the 44 hours a week of live local programming we produce from right here in these studios waiting for you. You could listen again. listen for the first time, share the podcast. Go to fmtalk1065.com. Just click that podcast tab. Continuing conversation with one of my favorite folks here, Dr. Michael Michaud in studio. And we're talking about a couple things here. Number one, just the fact that, well, you know, procedures like getting cancer screenings were shut down for, what, 6 weeks, right?
Yes.
And now kind of getting back in the flow of getting those screenings done. You're telling folks, don't skip that year.
All right. You can postpone it, but don't skip it.
That's good advice. And that, I think, will wake a lot of people up. Because sometimes, Dr. Michaud, we get where we're like, well.
The easiest thing to do is forget it.
Yes. Yes. And but in all your years of practice, you know how serious a year is.
Oh, absolutely. A lot can happen in 1 year. So delay, but don't postpone. I mean, don't cancel.
And one of the things we're talking about is people having a fear of going to a doctor's office or hospital about this. Their fear of, if I go there, I'm going to get, coronavirus or something else.
It's probably the safest place you can be. Everybody that comes in the door is screened with a temperature. They're given a mask if they don't have a mask. It's a rule that everyone there has to have a mask on. There's social distancing. Everything is wiped down with an antiseptic after each patient. So it's a lot safer than Home Depot.
Right, where we're all going to the Home Depot or going to pick up some food. This is, you make a good point. There's a lot more precaution there. So there you go. Take that off your list of where you make a good case and a good reason for y'all to think about that. Because people will say, well, I don't want to go down there. But
And I think, you can do telehealth.
Right.
But I think.
But it's not as good as.
Not the same as somebody laying eyes and laying hands on you.
You're making a fair case on all these. You're not saying these new technologies aren't worth something. They are. It's just not as good.
It's not a substitute.
Let's talk about, can we go back to the conversation we had last time you were here? And
sure.
Just an update, because we had talked to Dr. Michaud in the world of oncology and fighting cancer. The stuff you talked about with me last time was like Star Wars stuff. And can you kind of lay out some of the things in general, language I can understand of how what y'all are doing looking to fight cancer?
Well, ever since the human genome has been cracked and identified, we can now look at the genome, the genetics of a cancer, and it's different. There are mutations called driver mutations that drive the cancer and make it grow. And we have drugs in certain instances that can block these driver mutations, stop the cancer from growing, and it either dies or goes into remission.
And that's specifically towards the cancer, because a lot of times the cancer treatment, you have to treat the whole area, right? Cancer's here, treating the whole area. You're going after the genetics of the cancer.
This is called targeted therapy. So if a person has a lung cancer with a particular gene mutation and you have a drug that blocks that gene mutation, you can treat the cancer with that pill.
It's amazing to me. And also thinking about the genetics of cancer. I guess, I didn't think about them having the genetics of cancer, but you've mapped that out like you would map out a human being.
Absolutely. And your genome may be a little different than the cancer's genome, which is why it became malignant, because it had a mutation that made it different than your normal cells.
But the discussion has been over the years that our normal immune system doesn't, and correct me, I might not use the right term, doesn't see cancer, or it doesn't know it's there?
Yes. It's blind. It's like the Klingon cloaking device. The cancer's invisible to your immune system. And one of the ways we're treating cancer now is giving drugs that unmask the cancer and unleash the body's immune system onto the cancer.
That's what's amazing to me, that if you do that, that's the only outside thing that comes in is what uncloaks, to use your term, uncloaks that cancer. And then our immune system, the one that's right now fighting whatever in our bodies, goes to work after cancer.
Yes.
Can our immune system beat cancer?
Yes.
What
in God, selected God, cases, yes.
So this is where this research has gone, that if you let the immune system see the cancer, the immune system will go after it like it's a cold virus or something.
It can, yes. And there's certain cancers that are immunologically hot cancers, like melanoma.
Okay. Explain. So immunologically hot means what?
Means the immune system can attack it.
Okay. There's, can see it more easily?
Yes. There's immunologically cold cancers like pancreas. Immunotherapy just doesn't work for pancreas. And the whole thrust of pancreatic cancer treatment now is, how do you turn this cancer that's cold into a hot cancer? And so there's things that are being done to try to do this. And the whole thrust of oncology now is toward targeted therapy and immunotherapy.
So the idea is you're going to go in there. You're going to say, okay, well, there's this cold cancer that our immune system can't see. But what you're trying to do here for pancreas cancer, for example, is figure out what inside that genetic strain, where's the switch? Is it a switch? Is it removing something from it? Or
maybe it's just as simple as giving something that damages it and it releases genetic material into the system in a different form, and the body's able to recognize it and then kill the cancer. Now, we're talking about experimental.
Right, things. But this is so – yeah, you started me on this last time. I've been fascinated by this whole discussion.
That's what's being done.
It's pretty amazing. It's incredibly amazing to be able to harness, if possible down the road, harness what's inside our body versus outside, you know, to fight it.
Yeah, what fascinates me are these targeted therapies where you find the gene that's driving the cancer and have a drug that blocks that gene.
Would that gene be duplicated in different types of cancers, or what are y'all seeing?
For instance, the BRAF V600 gene.
Okay.
It was originally identified in melanoma. We now see it in occasional colon cancer or in an occasional lung cancer. And what we're doing now is, instead of treating like a lung cancer or a colon cancer, if you find that mutation, you treat that mutation.
Right. It doesn't matter what – you're going after the mutation, not the specific cancer.
Correct. So we've always, in my lifetime, treated colon cancer differently than lung cancer. But if you can find that single driver mutation, you can treat that mutation rather than where it came from.
Do you think eventually we're looking at a list of mutations? Like you'd have – there'd not be a book, but it'd be, all right, here's pancreatic cancer, or here's colon cancer, here's lung cancer, here's skin cancer. That one has a BRAF 400. That one doesn't. That one, you almost have a user's manual to figure out, yeah, you can attack it with this.
We do now.
That's what you have now.
I mean, we do now. If you've got a lung cancer with an ALK mutation, you have a set of drugs that you can use. If it has an EGFR mutation, you have a set of drugs that you can use.
So it's almost like getting one of those warning lights on the truck that says this is your code. This is your, you know, when you get on the car, it says you have a whatever code. Okay, let's look up what that code is. That means your O2 sensor is bad or whatever. Okay, use this to fix it.
Yes.
It's fascinating. It's just fascinating.
The problem is we can't always either identify the driver mutation or have a drug that blocks it.
But we're getting there.
Yes, we are. The new ones are – I mean, literally a month ago, one was identified in about 20% of cholangiocarcinomas. These are bile duct cancers. And, you know, it's just – these are coming out monthly.
And this is – I mean, until you had the genome, had that mapped, we had no way to see into that.
Correct.
And that's what's changed.
That's what opened everything up.
It's so exciting.
And, you know, it used to be a very expensive thing that took months to do. Now it takes maybe a week, 2 weeks.
To find out if it has
one. And it's relatively inexpensive.
This is great. Before we wrap up, we're running out of time. I mentioned with Southern Cancer Center, but if there's somebody who doesn't know what it's about, tell Southern Cancer Center, what's the story?
We are a community-based cancer center. There's eight physicians and a plethora of nurse practitioners and nurses. We have a research program, and we treat patients with cancer. We have five different locations so that we try to be close to where people live rather than having people come to us.
Well done. Well, if you go to southerncancercenter.com, get more information there, and also we can, at a time in the future, continue this discussion.
Absolutely.
More about
that's fun.
Y'all, I mean, there's amazing things this man knows about how they're going after cancer now. Fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.